When I was a sixth former, I worked one summer for my uncle. He owns an industrial labelling business. It was in the days before computers and printers, and I used to spend 7 hours a day sitting at a worktop, making up warning and information signs which were used in factories and on industrial plants. I would sit at the workbench, and there would be boxes and boxes of these vinyl adhesive letters and symbols in front of me, and I would pick out the right ones, I would unpeel them, and I would stick them down on these preset templates to make up the required signs or to a particular order for a client. It was mind-blowingly dull and repetitive work. Despite the precision that was required to make up the signs, it was all very easy, actually, to let my mind wander, to just get on with what I was doing and not really concentrate. And, you know, people around me, they didn't get any chance for a look in. I just was operating on autopilot. I wonder how much each of us, each day, goes through the day on autopilot. We get on with the usual activities at home or at work, in the neighborhood. How in tune are we actually with the people and the places that God has put us? You know, what goes on around us? Do we pick up on those little signs and signals that might mean that somebody is going through stuff that isn't quite as well as it should be, or perhaps has enjoyed something really wonderful and want to share it with us? Now, if we know them quite well, we probably do pick up on those signs and we act appropriately. But what about those people that we don't know very well? Those that are just casual acquaintances, or the people that we just meet each day? How good are we at actually responding and tuning in to them? Do we just engage with them on autopilot, or do we give them our attention? Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about the fact that God wants us to make a difference on our front lines. And last week, we were thinking about, as we meet together as church week by week, we are about encouraging one another, learning together about what it means to be disciples of Jesus, about equipping and encouraging one another so that we are better prepared to go out the rest of the week on our front lines. But what does that actually mean? How can I make a difference on my front line for God? What does he actually want me to do? And maybe that's the question that has been making you nervous since we started this series a few weeks back. Well, we are going to begin to look at the answers and to help us discover how we can become more attuned to God's voice as we go through the day, all those places that we find ourselves, so that we can then recognize his voice and act on those little promptings that come our way. But we're going to first read here from the Bible, and Julie's going to come and read to us from Acts.
This reading is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, which can be found on page 1094 of the Pew Bibles. Peter heals a lame beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
One day, as Peter and John were heading off to the temple for their usual practice of afternoon prayer, they come across a man who's begging. The man's been lame from birth, and he's been coming to sit outside the same place outside the temple every day for years. He's something of a fixture of the street life, rather like a big issue seller. It may be that John and Peter have passed him by many times before. And so, just as on every other day, on this day they have a choice. Do they toss him some coins? Do they fix their eyes somewhere in the middle distance and walk on resolutely by? Well, on this day, Peter does something else entirely. He reaches out and he heals the man in the name of Jesus. And the man gets up and he starts walking about, he starts jumping, he starts praising God. And then he follows John and Peter into the temple courts. And there he attracts the attention of everybody else who has walked on past this man every day for years. And they are all filled with wonder and amazement. And not a few questions. I've got one or two to add to that. Why did Peter choose on this day to act as he did? How did he know on this day that he should reach out and heal the man? Now, I suspect that there is nobody here in church this morning whose frontline experience includes a miraculous healing such as described here by Luke. If there is, please do have a word with Steve, because I'm sure he would be thrilled to interview you for Walking with God in My Life to encourage the rest of us. But on the assumption that this isn't the case, what can we learn in our ordinary lives that will help us grow in our discipleship as we labour for Jesus on our front lines? Well, if you have your Bibles open at chapter 3, and you look back into chapter 2, there you'll see that Luke is telling us about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then if you glance forward into the second half of chapter 3 and into chapter 4, you'll see that Peter and John encounter some difficulties with the authorities as a result of what they've done. They even end up spending a night in custody because of their healing and the preaching that followed. These three chapters actually give us a template for life on the front line. God is with us by his Spirit. He sends us out into the world to witness and work for him every day in our lives. And the world responds, sometimes with wonder and amazement, sometimes with apathy, sometimes with confusion or hostility. I want to pick up three things that Peter and John show us about life on the front line that follow that same pattern that's established in the first few chapters of Acts. We are to be alert to the possibilities. We are to be willing to act, and we are to be ready to respond. So, first off, alert to possibilities. If you look at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now, when the man spoke to them, Peter and John were doing what they normally did each day at that time. They were heading towards the temple to join with other worshippers at prayer. It was a day much like any other. Looking around this morning, I see people who are at work or engaged in looking for work, people who are retired, people whose responsibility is in the home, people who love sports, people who care for children or grandchildren, people who are caregivers. I see people who enjoy the great outdoors, and I see people who prefer reading and shopping and appreciate good food. We all have things that we like to do. We are all engaged in the routine activities of life, but that is where God is also at work. Over coffee with a friend, in our conversations at work, or standing at the school gate, or on the bus. Wherever it is, if we are alert to the possibilities, God will offer us incredible opportunities to speak and act for him if we are listening. Well, how can we ensure that we are more alert? Well, again, if you look at verse 1, Peter and John were en route to the temple to pray. They had lived and learned alongside Jesus. They had seen him perform amazing miracles. They had heard how he dealt with people day by day. They had witnessed his loving concern. It's only days since the Holy Spirit has come down on them at Pentecost, just as Jesus has promised it would before he returned to the Father. Their relationship with Jesus is no longer face to face as it once was, but it is still fundamental to who they are. In John's Gospel, on the night before the crucifixion, we hear Jesus tell his disciples that they are to come to the Father in prayer. They can ask for anything in Jesus' name and he will do it. In this way, the work of growing the kingdom of God, which was set in motion by Jesus, is going to continue in those who believe and trust in him. That was true for Peter and John and the rest of the disciples, and it is still true for us. We can only deepen our relationship with Jesus if we spend time with him. Reading our Bibles, praying it through, getting together in our prayer triplets, learning together what it means to be followers of Jesus, learning what it means to hear him speak to us and shape us, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in us that he wants to do. If you think back to what I was saying in that all-age talk, this is what it means to be reaching in, to be building and strengthening our relationship with the Lord. And like any relationship, it's only when we invest time in it that we reap the rewards, that we understand the person, that we hear their voice, that we can see those subtle nuances of what it means to be in a relationship with them. The more we know about each other, the easier it is to recognize his voice, the better able we are to act when we hear his promptings or see his promptings as we go about our daily lives. So if we were to start each day by inviting Jesus to go with us, asking his help so that we can see in others what he sees in them, then he will also enable us to be alert to those little possibilities to show love and care and concern to others. He will enable us to become alert to the possibilities that will come our way because he promises that he goes before us by his Spirit. In our passage, we were told that the lame man was carried each day to sit outside the same gate, at the beautiful gate of the temple. He remained outside the gate because his infirmity meant that by custom, he wasn't allowed to go in and join the gathered worshipping community. So the gate was a very busy one. There would be lots of people coming and going throughout the day. And so he sat there because there would be a good chance that someone would stop or at least toss him a few coins. But he still came back every day. So clearly he was just getting enough to support himself. Probably most people who passed him by just tossed a few coins in mindlessly or walked by barely giving him a second glance. And all of these things, his exclusion from the temple worship, the fact that people passed him by without giving him a second glance, they're all adding to his sense of isolation. And then Peter and John come by. And Peter looks straight at him, as did John. Peter says, "Look at us." And so the man gives them his full attention. He expects to get something from them. He's probably been looking around at other people already. "Look at us." A life-changing encounter begins simply by giving one individual undivided attention. And most days we're going to have many such opportunities to reach out to God simply by noticing and responding to the people around us. So, for example, when we greet a colleague at the start of the day at work, with a casual good morning, do we pick up on the fact that their tone might be muted? And if we do, what do we do then? If we're chatting over coffee, sharing our news and our concerns, is that what's our primary agenda? Or are we actually wanting to invest time in a friend? You can probably think of many more such encounters. Standing at the checkout while a busy cashier deals with your purchases. Even standing in line for a bus or at the school gate with parents or grandparents. We have the choice to do these things on autopilot or actually just to give a bit of attention to those around us. It might only be for a few moments, but it might also lead to us picking up on something, a word or a look, that means that we can give that person some care. We might be able to help in a situation of need. Or we might be able to answer a question that our own experience of faith has equipped us to answer. So that's being alert to the possibilities. The second thing that we can learn from this encounter with Peter and John is that we should be willing to act. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. God sends us out into the world to work and witness for him in our everyday lives. Peter and John recognized that today God had put them where he needed them to be. He'd given them the opportunity to act in a caring way, and he'd given them power and strength to do so in his name. Now every day we will meet with people who are outside the gate, people who don't know the Lord, who can't come in and join the worshipping community. And most of these people don't even know that they are outside the gate. We live in a world of need. Some of it is very obvious, and we are heavily involved here at Christchurch in meeting those practical needs of people. But many of those needs are not on the surface. They're the ones that are hiding behind a strained smile. We have good news to share with people, such as someone sometimes shared with us. Our frontline encounters are not going to be as dramatic as Peter and John's. But if we can start responding to the needs that are in front of us, just as they did when they stopped and talked to a man who was trapped in isolation. If we can show love and generosity, patience and concern with the people that we encounter in our everyday lives, who knows where God might be able to take them? Perhaps even to a place where we can share the good news that made such a difference to us. Peter and John were alert to the possibilities around them. They were willing to act to meet a need. They gave what they had. Now perhaps we're worried that we don't have the skills or the resources to say or do the appropriate thing. But God always supplies what we need to do his work. He wouldn't have brought us to that particular encounter if he didn't. So when we feel ill-equipped, just take that little step of faith. For like Peter and John, we can totally rely on Jesus. We might look at them and we read miracles like this in the Bible and we just feel inadequate. I can't do that. God will equip us to do what he wants us to do in each encounter that we have. They said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." They were acknowledging that all the power and the authority, the leading, lay with Jesus and with him alone. For some time now in our Sunday worship, in our home groups, our prayer groups, in fact, everything that we do together as a church, we've been focusing and considering our vision statement to be making disciples, growing disciples, being disciples. That key word, disciple, one who is apprenticed to the master, Jesus. We don't act in our own strength, but in his wisdom and in his leading and authority. We've been learning together what the Bible teaches us about making, growing and being disciples. How we are called to play our part to encourage one another. We have been encouraged by listening to others share with us on a Sunday morning their experience of God at work in their lives. And we have begun to see what it means to be the scattered church in all the places that we live and work and are during the rest of the week. We want to be alert to the possibilities that the Lord will bring before us. We can trust that he will enable us to speak and act in response to his prompting if we rely on his strength and his power. There's one more thing that Peter and John teach us, and that is that we should be ready to respond. So we read in verse 8. The lame man jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping, praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The man who was excluded from the worshiping community because of his condition now cannot wait to share with them what God has done for him. But his healing, amazing though it was, is only the first part of meeting his need. His body has been made whole, but now he needs to experience an even greater healing, coming to know the one who made his recovery possible. And if you read on in chapter 3, you'll see that Peter addresses the crowd, who, as we heard in verse 10, were filled with amazement and wonder at what had happened. But he directs their attention away from the miracle towards the one who caused the miracle to happen. The one who's in whose power and authority it occurred. It's all about Jesus. So having taken the first steps on our own front lines, being alert to the possible encounters that the Lord will put our way as we go about our normal round, giving our full attention to those that we meet, and perhaps having acted on a prompting that we receive, then we need to be ready to share our faith. Peter himself writes later to the church, "We must always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have." When we show love or compassion, when we share the good news of Jesus Christ and the difference that he's made in our lives, when our lives reflect that to others, when we pray for healing or intervention for others in a difficult situation, we do all of these things acknowledging that we do it totally dependent on the Lord, in his name and by his power. And there are many people that we come into contact with every day who are outside the gate, who need to experience the transforming power of Jesus. And you and I are the ones who are called to speak and act in his name. At the end of the day, it's not about our abilities, but about our availability to be used by God. John and Peter were willing and available to speak into that life, life in an everyday situation. And the result was transformation. So what's in store for you this week? Are you alert to the possibilities? Will you start each day by saying, "Lord, help me to see the front line as you see it"? Will you then head out into the day expectantly, willing and ready to act? If we believe and trust in Jesus and what he has done for us, then we are disciples. We are agents of God's kingdom on the front line in all the places that he's put us. We are the scattered church, carrying Christ's light into the ordinary places of this world. We go in his name. We go in his power. Therefore, each day this week, I challenge each one of us to begin the day with a simple prayer to God. A prayer which says, "I'm ready, Lord, ready for the possibilities that you might put my way. I am thankful that I know that you go before me by your Spirit. I know that you will enable me and equip me." And then perhaps at the end of the day, we can look back and reflect on something that the Lord has done through us that day, sowing a small seed into an ordinary life.